Hosanna, God save us, is what the people were shouting when Jesus came into Jerusalem. And this Ethiopian treasurer was really saying those same words in his soul when he was reading the book of Isaiah. And he needed Philip to come and tell him what all that meant that he was reading about. He was saying, God, save me. God, I need your help. I need you to come into my life because I'm lost. And anybody here today who's not at peace with God, you know, you could pray a simple prayer, turn to God like the Ethiopian treasurer did, and you could say, God, save me. And believe in him with all your heart, as one of the verses says. And God will be in your life all the time and take you to heaven to be with him. So what a wonderful Savior he is. Please don't miss him or forget to pass him on during this time of year. You know, next week, next Sunday morning, there'll be the largest group of people praising God of any Sunday throughout the year. And I think even more than Christmas Eve, you get more people on the resurrection morning. There's a reason for that. So pray for your friends and neighbors. Invite them to church. As one fellow said, most people don't go to church because they're not invited. So you and I have the call to don't keep Jesus a secret. And glad about that. Other than mom and dad in my life, first guy to invite me to church was a fellow 18-year-older. He says, you want to go to church with me? Church? Yeah, Sunday church? Yes. So that was a good start. That I knew the Lord already, but I was like floundering around. But here we have in Acts chapter 8, the conversion and baptism of an Ethiopian eunuch treasurer. And he was a man with a lot of responsibilities, had a chariot, had his own copy of part of the Old Testament. Two things right away the average person didn't have. Jesus never rode in a chariot, as far as we know. And most people back in that day didn't have their own personal copy of any part of the Old Testament. Okay, have to go to synagogue to hear that Word of God written and proclaimed. So God's speaking to the treasurer already. He's looking in Isaiah, so that's a good thing. And it's a clear passage about Jesus. He's like a sheep that's going to be killed. He's like a lamb that's quiet. You know, Jesus didn't defend himself. He went with a mission because he loved you and I. And so the Ethiopian official, real important conversion. Two lessons we could know. Philip, a follower of Jesus, comes and talks to this official in the chariot. Two lessons from that encounter. Number one, God will lead you like he led Philip to help other people believe in Christ. Okay, God will use you like he used other people to help people believe in Christ. He does that. You know, he spoke to Philip's heart. Hey, go and just be near this guy and see what happens. And what are you reading, you know? Good way to start a conversation. Somebody's eating something. Where'd you get that ice cream cone? You know, or that looks like a good hamburger. Is that the Wendy's or McDonald's? Whatever. However God leads you, go and you're available to help in some manner if God opens the door to bless this person. I remember going to Meadville up north on a regular basis over to college there, having to travel 79 up and back many times. And on the bridge overpasses up on 79 and coming back, some wild-eyed Christian did overzealous. They put in spray paint, trust Jesus, on all the bridge overhangs going up to 79, coming back. You know, and so they shouldn't have done that, but they wanted to pass the word on. That was an encouragement to me as a young believer. Okay, remember, when you go, trust the Lord. When you go home, trust the Lord. Somebody said, the toughest place to be a Christian is where? It's at home sometimes. You guys, you testify about that in your own life. You think, I want to follow Jesus there. For others, it's work. But you and I, we don't need a spray paint can to do graffiti because we're the letter from Christ. You know, you're the graffiti, and you're broadcasting a message by the way you live. Trust Jesus. You're like Philip that way. Second lesson we get from that encounter is You could take any Bible passage and have it, because it does, point to Christ. Any Bible passage that somebody might be reading, you know, something about prayer. Well, you need Jesus' help to pray. Something about forgiveness. Oh, you need Jesus to have forgiveness. Something about marriage. Oh, you need Jesus to be in the middle of your marriage, you know. He'll bring you together. And so any passage, happened to be a clear one here in Isaiah about Jesus giving life at the cross. So one of the things they didn't do was, hey, tell me about this Isaiah character. He was pretty good, wasn't he? You know, they didn't go there. That's important, but more important, the main person in the passage is always God, always the Lord. Somebody's reading about David and Goliath. Don't say, oh, I want to be David and knock over the big giants in my life, you know. Put up your dukes, Goliath. But you want to say, God gave David strength. I need God. Okay. Always point to Jesus in the passage. God can use you to do that like he used Philip. And so the Ethiopian, you know, he's hearing about the Lord in Isaiah, and he says, well, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And conversation goes, you know, well, if you believe with all your heart, you could be baptized. He said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus, Messiah. And again, simple confession of faith. I love that. And Ethiopian treasurer. How many know, that's a lot of responsibility. How many know who the U.S. treasurer is for our country? I didn't know. I was trying to look at the $10 bill. His first name was Paul. We had to get out the magnifying glass, and the last name he can't write worth a hill of beans. We hope he can count. But this Ethiopian treasurer, you know, he's taking care of all this loot for an African country. Just another side light for mission lovers, for dear Rachel Wilson. The gospel gets to Africa before it gets to USA. Huh, that's a surprise, huh? Yeah, let's hear it for the Africans. All right. And some old-time believers over there in the continent of Africa. And maybe Rachel Wilson's running into one of these great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren of the Ethiopian treasurer. Or they'd have to be adopted grandchildren, nevertheless. But that's great history for Ethiopia. So there you have the conversion, the Ethiopian. He wants to be baptized. Yes, if I trust in Jesus, I want to be baptized. You'll notice if you have a pew Bible, verse 37 is not in your pew Bible. Our apologies to the pew Bible people. Here's verse 37, not found in the NIV, not found in the ESV, not found in the Catholic Bible. Is found in the KJV, King James Version, New King James, New American Standard, et cetera, et cetera, Good News for Modern Man, and some others. The reason I put that up there is for us to know a couple things. When we read the Bible, you know, there are old-time manuscripts. We're talking about manuscripts written in the Greek, some that are very old. Let's say they found it, date back. Well, this is about 100 A.D., let's say, as an example, 100 A.D., There's no conversation here between the Ethiopian and Philip, okay? So we're not going to include that. Some manuscripts they find, oh, this one dates back to about 150 or 200 AD. Oh, that's interesting. You know, there's a conversation in here between Philip and the Ethiopian. Well, this is an older one, so it might be more accurate. Might not be. Might not be, you know. There might be some news passed around later that, hey, there was a conversation between this Ethiopian guy and Philip, and you should have heard what they said about the Lord. So it gets included in the later manuscripts. Nevertheless, same thing happened, as you probably recall, with the Jesus and the woman caught in adultery when he says, does no one condemn you? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Same deal. Not in these, the point being, sometimes you want to hear the heart of God even when science itself gives you a little bit of a different message. Okay, still science, just not as old. Okay, so that verse 37, I like verse 37, good conversation about the conversion of the Ethiopian. So he gets baptized because he trusts in Christ, just like these five people are going to come. The baptism is a picture of the gospel, just like the Lord's Supper is. It's what God did for us and our trust in Him. Baptism, what Jesus did for me, and a picture of it. Outward sign of an inward change. I've heard stories mostly from California and Florida, where the weather's nicer, where they have a baptism service like this, and there's news about baptism, and you have the five ready to go and so forth. And somebody says, there's water there. Why can't I be baptized? You know, to quote the Ethiopian treasurer. And they say, I don't have a change of clothes, but maybe I could borrow somebody's, you know, extra pair of trousers or choir robe to get to the car or something. And they actually come and get baptized. I invite you to do that. If you say, I was never baptized, but I don't have a change of clothes, but I sure do believe Jesus is the Son of God, and He rose from me. Is there any reason why you can't be baptized? Well, if you believe in your heart, oh, I believe. And then he was baptized. And so it's a wonderful thing. The baptism really shows a new life with Christ. When we were dead in our sins, God made us alive with Christ. It's a new life coming from a life by ourselves to a life with God. When we're buried because of our sin, we're like a hell-bound sinner. Matthew said we were just following the wide road that everybody else was on, 8-lane highway, going as fast as I could, running my own life away from God. That's not God's wish for us. Trust Him. Okay, He's the way to heaven, Jesus is. We all start off as hell-bound sinners. Trust in the Lord. He's the way to the Father only. We go from loving sin and not loving God to a change. And again, I remember I was in a hospital once, and a priest came in to take the confession of my roommate in the hospital. He was an older guy, kind of crusty, straightforward, and the priest, the only privacy was to pull the curtain. And the guy's laying there, and the priest says, I'd like to hear, you know, your confession. And the guy's, I mean, he was being sincere. He said, I did everything wrong except murder. Okay, that was his sincere confession. And he knew his need. He knew his need. And that's where we are without Christ. You could say, I did everything wrong except murder. I've loved sin, not God. God can raise us from that with His Son, Jesus. Here's what we're risen with Christ, too. Jesus risen, He takes our hand, we're risen with Him, makes us alive. He makes us a child of God. Wow, what a great compliment, you know, that you should be, you're sitting with sons and daughters of God in church. Oh, I just thought they were church folk, you know. No. Sons and daughters of God. Did a wedding yesterday, and I was glad to remind this dear couple, you're marrying a daughter of God. You're marrying a son of God, you know, through faith in Jesus. What a gift. I was hearing about the, I'm going to mention this next week too, the wedding between Meghan Markle, I guess, and the prince coming up. Invitation sent out, only 600. Gals, I just heard this morning, gals must wear a hat. None of you were invited. No hats. I see no hats, no invitations. Guys must wear what is called at least a morning jacket. I figure we all have that, whatever jacket we put on at the door, that's what you wear. It's a morning jacket. But the royalty and the king, they have to do what they have to do, the queen. You know, they don't show up in sneakers and jeans like we want to, that's fine. But isn't it different when the King of Kings has the banquet? He says, hat or no hat, you're invited. You know, morning jacket or no morning jacket, you're invited. I give you my heart till you give me yours back. And that's God with you. Now you can say, I'll go. I'll take Jesus' invitation. A child of God, you go to be a servant of Jesus, a friend of His. You're forgiven. No sin counted against you because they're counted against Jesus. And you have a home in heaven. This means a lot to people. Most of the way we act is a result of our first 18 years of life. Or at least probably a good 25% of it. First 18 years of life. What was home like? Was God spoken of? Was there a lot of arguing? Conflict? Go to your room to find peace, you know. Was there abuse? Oh, we need a home. We need a safe home. And God's our safe home. Okay? He'll take us to Himself. He'll be our home till we get there. And some other wonderful things. Given the goodness of God, God's Spirit comes in our life. We're part of His body, the church. That's a plug for the connection of, again, be with the children of God. It's a huge blessing. We're not taken from Jesus' hand. When we baptize the folks, they're going to be holding on to my hand. I might drop them. They might let go. Not so with Jesus. That doesn't let us go. And He makes us Christ's ambassadors. We get to be like Philip. Oh. You mean God's going to help somebody in their faith because of me? Yes. Yes, that's you. And how good He is. So we're going to pray for the folks getting baptized, and I'll dismiss them in a minute, and honor the Lord at this last part of the service. Let's pray together. Father, be yourself in each of our hearts. If anybody never trusted you, let them say in their life, just like that Palm Sunday prayer, God save me, with all the sincerity of my hospital roommate. God save me. Or the sincerity of this Ethiopian treasurer. Who is this talking about? Is this the Messiah? And might each of us put our trust in you, follow you all the way to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.